art, comedy, pop culture, and much more. You're listening to ACPN.
We can hijack your brain. Something.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, everybody. We are back again in an elevator. I'm Dave Satin.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And I'm Big Matt.
This is a tall tower we're in right now.
This is very bright, very almost like comic book kind of vibe. Like
does have some Zippitone.
It does. Very interesting. Yeah, we're here. Elevator pitch. Our topic is whoever gets on the elevator, we're going to pitch to them what we think the next phase of the MCU should look like.
There's a lot of space to roll with that.
There is. There's a That's whole lot of space.
Open. Seriously.
So elevator is here. We should, Matt, after you.
Ladies.
Oh.
Yep. Whoa. All right.
Wait, what?
All right. Getting on the elevator. Matt, would you like to do the honor and push the button?
All right.
I love the theater of the mind every time. That didn't know
all these elevators have to be by the same company. It's all the same music.
It's Otis, man.
Oh.
And I would like to introduce our big money CEO for Elevator Pitch this week. It is my longtime friend, longtime contributor to the Something Cast. It is Tim Ungaje Stevens. Hello, brother.
Thank you. No.
It's a very big elevator.
Yeah.
I'm very worthy of the applause. I appreciate it. It's wonderful to be here. I just want to start off. I heard you guys talking a little bit about Otis through the doors because my hearing's that good. And Otis Elevator is a Connecticut company. So I just wanted to give that shout out to the Nutmeg State.
if there's two things that Tim loves, it is comics and Connecticut.
That's right.
I thought you were going to say elevator trivia, but okay.
You know where they don't need an elevator, Tim?
Where's that?
The world's smallest waterfall.
Damn straight.
Every time we go and visit my friends in New Hampshire and we drive past Wewington, I always roll the window down and throw the W out.
That's right. Hometown proud. 06111.
Give it up for the woo. There's
the number of people in this universe that now drive by your town and throw up gang signs. Because of you and one other Tim.
Yep. I mean, it's Connecticut. You can do that. Nobody knows what the hell you're doing.
No, they put the cops on you immediately. Mr. Stevens, first off, how have you been? It's been a second.
I'm doing all right. I mean, I'm thrilled to be here. I'm sad about the occasion, but all things must come to an end. I did hear Lost is coming back to Netflix, and once I heard that, I figured this was inevitable.
We've been dodging them for years.
But I'm excited for you guys. You know, it's, like I said, all things come to an end. I'm excited you guys are ending on your own terms, and I don't know that anything's coming next, but if something was, I'd be excited for that as well.
Well played.
Very clever, sir. I like how he said going out on our own terms. Like, at some point, Spotify was going to email us and say, yeah, you guys,
You had a good run.
Hey, I've been in some rooms where I've heard some chatter. That's all I'm saying.
hey, as long as they're talking about us, I don't care if it's good or bad. Jesus.
Dreamhost sends me a message. Could you stop? Seriously.
I mean, a lot of, like, they've gotten too powerful. I mean, I don't want to say I saw him at January 6th, but I did not see him at January 6th.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, wait till you hear my pitch.
Oh, good Lord.
Pitch? What's all this then?
Tim, right. If you're not familiar with this style of episode, we
How could
will
I be? Making, I just wandered onto this elevator.
We will be making you the stereotypical elevator pitch based off how we feel the next phase of the MCU should go. And then you will pick one of us to give the old big publisher's clearinghouse check to fund that vision and fund that dream. I will say, if you've never listened to one of these episodes before, I hope you have packed a lunch or some sort of sustenance or maybe a flare gun, because James Hatton is known to be very verbose.
No,
we are glad you live in a very tall building, because this may be a rather long elevator ride.
Look, all I'm saying, go ahead, 16 sorry. Movie treatment is reasonable.
The bad news, I did already finish my Pilsner. The good news is I do have this lovely Coke Zero.
Oh, fantastic.
And
wild tonight.
This 20-ounce water. So I'm very prepared. Going to be super hydrated, super dialed in, totally focused.
So water, if you're listening, we would love for you to sponsor our show.
We keep getting the
bottle comes from Walgreens. You could, you know, get a sponsorship from them. They love sponsoring podcasts for the last three episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Honored to join the Something Cast for their final three episodes. Who should go first?
I should go first? Or you said who should go first? Oh, let's let Matt go first.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Because Matt looks so prepared.
This is going to be a short one, actually. I've given this a lot of thought. I had three different things I was mulling over. One of them might actually be coming to fruition, so I decided not to go with that one. But, okay, we're at a spot where, you know, some people have become, like, kind of problematic, have to be removed. You know, we've got the multi-dimension thing going on here. So this is the perfect time to bring John Bernthal in and have Punisher kills the Marvel Universe. I just, you know, first start off with Kang. Every one of them. Mm-hmm. Tracks them all down, kills them. Then it just goes like the next movie out, he has to kill him for some reason. Steve Rogers shows up. Nope, he's got to go. Boom, done. He finds a way to kill him. And we just go through the whole cast. And it's the easiest way to start over with a new phase, a new set of characters, and boom, there you go.
And how many film installments are you foreseeing this running for?
I'm seeing this for, I would say, four and then a finale,
okay,
where like the new Avengers team teams up to get him, but no, he wins. Boom. So we get all new phase six. It's just all new stuff, restart, you know, someone new in charge, and just Bernthal there as he made a deal with the devil to start this whole thing off.
Okay. And is this a la Captain America Civil War, we're just taking the title of Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe? Or is this a straight adaptation of that limited series graphic novel? I'm not sure.
Garth Ennis, one shot. Kind of a little bit of both, you know? Because you can't have it direct, but again, we've got some problematic people. We've got some people retiring. A good way to send them all off. And this is the thing. We get to the last episode. Were these all from the same dimension? I don't know. You know, we're playing with dimensions now. We're playing with the multiverse. So was that the real Captain America he killed that you saw him kill? Did he kill all how many hundreds of thousands of Kangs? Well, yes, he did, because we got to get rid of him. But, you know, I'm just saying it is a convenient way to reset everything.
Mm-hmm. Matt, I do have to say, I know we're each competing against each other for this big check. But in my brain, the first movie is already playing out like the last 10 minutes of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, mixed with the last 5 minutes of Deadpool, where he's like, are you Kang the Conqueror? You pow! Are you? And then another doorbell rings, knock on another door. Just, Steve Rogers?
Followed by how many work. People want to kick really some well. Ass?
Exactly. Good stuff.
So that's my pitch. I think we could go with this.
I won't lie. I do like the idea that you'd go see an Avengers movie and at the end they're all dead and Punisher standing there and you're like, yeah, that's the way we do this. That's good.
I mean, that's how the second Suicide Squad movie started off.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
5 minutes in, I'm like, did they just kill everyone?
Yeah, on Disney Nathan Plus, Fillion. You get the versus Archie versus Kiss, as we've discussed previous.
Oh, that'd be good. James.
All right.
How about you pad this episode out a little bit?
That's why I do it. So we get past the 15-minute mark. So the world is generally quiet after Thanos is defeated.
What?
What, Rob?
Nothing at all.
Settling in.
Who are you talking to exactly? Because you are not making eye contact with me. Very rude.
Aggressive eye contact. Aggressive.
I want you barreling the camera, my friend. If there's not a camera, metaphorically a camera, because we're all in the same elevator.
Yes, guys. I'm going to have to put my text window ever so slightly closer to the camera. After Thanos is defeated, yes, there are villains and heroes, but there hasn't been a giant space butthole with aliens coming out in quite a few years. Sure, the multiverse cracked open. They're mutants now, but whatever. The new phase starts with Spider-Man, homeless, where Peter ends up working for Norman Osborn. And Spidey gets involved when Norman is trying to recreate the Captain America serum and ends up overdosing on it, thus the Green Goblin. By the end of the film, Peter stopped Osborn's evil plot to whatever, but he's not gone. And in the stinger, we see him, it's Osborn, having a meeting with Nick Fury. Elsewhere in the MCU, Valkyrie and the Norse pantheon, minus Thor, have a fight with the Greek pantheon, as led by a very similar Thor-ish character by the name of Ares. In a Scarlet Witch miniseries, where we see her dealing with her fragile mind, a Dr. June Covington, studying powers, mutations, and the like, ends up merging her genetics with Scarlet Witch and trying to take the mantle of the Scarlet Witch. Last but not least, the sleeper hit of this phase of the MCU is The Sentry, about a man whose superness has not been erased from his memory, but from history. His split personality with The Void awakens, and he has an almost Joker-like story of losing to his own demons. This leads to our first big movie of the MCU, and the only one I mapped out, so it's not too long. Avengers Dark, where a retiring Nick Fury names his successor in Norman Osborn, whose first act as S.H.I.E.L.D. is to lead a new and united Avengers of Sentry, Ares, Scarlet Witch, and Daken, that's Wolvie's kid, and a new Hulk, who we learn is just the Super Skrull in the Fantastic Four movie. The first movie should be a real fun downer, as the heroes all recognize that none of these people are okay. Mutant hysteria is on the rise. Fantastic Four are made to look like con men. Spidey's a menace. Take ivermectin to stop the virus. The world's shape is a complicated subject. Everything is topsy-turvy, and a villain has lied to the world so hard that a rabid fan base believe in him. Avengers Dark. The subtitle is, God, I hate when comic books are so political. But that's just the fun for the poster.
Oh, okay. So it's Avengers. More of a tagline than a subtitle.
Yeah.
All right. And so you mentioned Fantastic Four, but you don't have a film for them in this, or is that occurring elsewhere?
I generally assume that the Fantastic Four and X-Men will have been established by the time we get to this.
And that's going to happen by what exactly? Magic? Because you don't have a plan for it, and you came here saying you had a plan for the future of the MCU.
Well, I mean, these movies are already slated. At least they were at some point in time. So I'm just going to assume that they occurred. We've seen the Skrulls. It's not shocking to get it. We know what's-his-face Mandalorian is going to be riding around with the thing. It's going to happen.
Okay. You mean Pedro Pascal? Is that who you're referring to as the Mandalorian? Or is he going to play the Mandalorian in the Fantastic Four? Because technically that crossover can happen.
I'm also down with that. That gets very Patton Oswalt.
Parks yes.
And
So what's the emotional beats we're looking for here in the story? Like, what do we want to leave the audience with?
Oh, I 1000% as we get into Avengers Dark, I'm really hoping that we had Thanos with the big superpowered villain. Oh my God, everybody's dead. Mm-hmm. I want this one to be a very... I don't want it to be politically charged. It definitely is making nods towards political... But I want it to feel like it's an impossible world to climb because the world is against all of the heroes who are now, you know... Just like in the Dark Avengers comics... He had the people wrapped around his finger with the Patriot and all, and Venom as the Black Spidey. Mm-hmm. People were totally into him. All the while, the heroes in the background are going, but guys, So it's supposed to be much more of sort of a social downer.
Okay. And Norman Osborn's really important to this picture, or these pictures I see. Yeah. Who's going to play Norman Osborn?
I was afraid you were going to ask that question. Because... I don't know. I've tried. I sat and I tried to figure out who would play a great Norman Osborn. And I'm just not, I can't find him because every time I close my eyes and I think of Norman Osborn, I just see
Chris Cooper from the Amazing Spider-Man movies. You know, I understand.
Obviously.
What about like a Titus Welliver?
Titus Welliver. We're going to...
Bosch.
The Man in Black.
Oh.
Got to go with the Lost reference or he doesn't get it.
Because he loves that show.
Wow, yeah. He really is a good call. I mean...
Why do you think I'm on this side of the negotiation, pal?
That's why we're not giving him a big check.
That's fair. I don't have a printer big enough. Wow, no, he's perfect. Book it.
Yeah. All right, all right. Okay, well, I'm hearing some good ideas. There's this guy in the corner who's not making eye contact. He kind of doesn't want me to notice him. I'd like to hear what he's got to say.
I think you're referring to me, sir?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have a very, very unpopular pitch.
Okay.
For the next phase of the MCU.
By the way, that's a great way to start a pitch. You're going to hate this pitch is a really strong move.
Apologizing up front.
Listen, man.
Imagine this. You don't like any aspect of what I'm saying. Go.
Be different. Got to be different. Draw the sting early. So my concept for the next phase of the MCU is to basically not only just kind of restart the franchise, but do that by restarting the process.
Okay.
So we're going to have an X-Men movie, independent standalone X-Men movie. We'll have a standalone Fantastic Four movie. Give them their flowers. Let them have their whole movie. Make a third Doctor Strange movie focused just on Strange recovering from the whole multiverse situation that they've gone through in the past couple MCU movies. Have your new Captain America movie with Sam as Captain.
Okay.
But make them as separate and as independent as you can manage to tell those stories. And then use those singular movies to build together into a new Avengers movie.
Okay.
And have all of them join up. Kind of how they did with the whole Thanos story. They got everybody's buy-in through the independent singular movies. They knew there was going to be a culmination of all of this down the road, but they let everybody kind of get their own beats in before they went right to that. I think the way to get everybody kind of emotionally bought in again is, again, start that process over. Start building that hype back up. You've got a lot of new characters coming in. You've got Ironheart coming in. You've got Shuri coming in, the new Black Panther, all this other stuff. And a lot of that's getting done through Disney Plus TV shows. We're now in a phase where TV shows are 6 episodes every year and a half, whereas they used to be 23 episodes every 6 to 8 months.
Right.
You're only going to get so much buy-in in 6 episodes before they try to tie something into a bigger overall movie arc. So let's get these individual movies out. Let's get the fan buy-in from the movies. Marvel said they're only probably going to make 2 movies a year now going forward, as opposed to pumping them out like they had in the past. Let's make them quality movies. Let's get that fan buy-in for the individual franchise before we merge them all together and remake a movie that will eventually be called The Avengers, but it's the new team put together.
Okay. And do you see us losing anyone who's already out there? You know, are we, you know, if there's individual movies, is Captain Marvel surviving this experience? Is, you know, is Thor, are we done with Thor, even though he didn't have a definitive end to his story? Is Vision going to make an appearance? What are you seeing as the established characters who are part of this, or are they all gone and it's just the newbies?
I mean, I would like to see Vision come back, but that's also because I'm a huge Paul Bettany mark.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think Thor has had his run. I think Tony's had his run, which is why they want to bring in Ironheart as kind of the Iron Man analog slash replacement.
Sure.
They've already passed the shield over to Sam. I think Sebastian Stan would have a place in it. Okay. I think... Benedict would be, he would still be Doctor Strange, but I see after his third movie having kind of a minimal overseer kind of part in maybe a movie or two. Maybe he's kind of like the Sam Jackson stinger at the end of Iron Man, where he is kind of going to them and planting that seed of, hey, maybe we should kind of introduce you to some of the other super types that are around, but not a huge major player, because it's almost like the passing of the torch to what the what the next generation would be.
Okay. Where's Spider-Man in all this?
That's really a good question. I mean, we've got, we still have the multiverse. So at any given point, there's the potential that it could be any of the three Spider-Men.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But I also feel that there's a way that we need to bring Venom into the fold as well and stop having this weird, like, everybody knows that it's the same universe because Spider-Man's in it, but everybody knows it's not the same universe because it's Marvel and it's Sony, and they're just kind of like loaning names to each other.
It's more,
which is, yeah, it's a very weird relationship between those two. But I think it would be good to get Venom brought in, because I think an anti-hero like that would be good in the MCU.
So are we going to keep Tom Hardy, Eddie Brock, or are you looking at new casting?
I wouldn't have a problem keeping Tom Hardy as Eddie Brock.
You're looking for Eddie Brock, I guess, is the better question.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you talking Venom or Agent Venom?
Like, that's what I'm wondering. Because you mentioned anti-hero specifically, so...
Well, it would have to start as Venom,
okay.
I think. But they could start him as Venom in the MCU, but still keep the Sony lore that he's had.
Sure.
Because I don't think he's really a villain in the Venom movies as much as he is like an anti-villain.
Yeah, that's
So I think you could keep that kind of personality with him and bring him in.
Okay. Obviously you want to bring in Madam Web too then, right?
Oh God.
I can't speak on that because I honestly haven't seen the movie yet.
Morbius?
No.
Okay. All right. So there is a line
only,
somewhere.
If they are going to bring Morbius in, only in the same way that the second, Suicide Squad movie brought in the entire cast from the first movie and then had them all eradicated.
Could be eliminated rather quickly. All right.
Yeah, exactly.
Enough.
That would be it.
All right. You guys agree?
And it doesn't even have to be Morbius. It could just be Jared Leto that gets annihilated in the first 5 minutes, and I would still be fine with that.
Fair.
Yeah, no matter what character it is.
Yeah.
Jared Leto getting
basically
offed.
Okay. Right. Well, you all have given me a lot to chew on.
Yes.
Just round the horn, one last quick thing just to, like, you know, give me a parting shot. Like, this is your last chance to, like, really convince me, or I don't know, like, play fan service, slip me $100. Who knows? You know, whatever.
Okay. Final scene of,
actually, I'd like to start with Rob and go the other way. So you have the advantage of going last this time. It's only fair. And James can stay in the same pot because who cares?
Sir, I have an uncashed Twitch check for $48.92 that I could very easily endorse to one Mr. Tim Stevens.
Why you roll so large? Why you got so much cash on you? It's dangerous out there.
Well, look, I just dropped my check. I can't pick this up.
And it's already signed. Oh, darn.
All right, Rob, give us your best last-ditch attempt.
That was. I was bribing you with a Twitch check.
All right. No, James, what you got?
No, honestly, I think... It's very difficult to have a franchise go on as long as this one has. I mean, I'm a huge fan of the Bond movies, and even then, they kind of have to circle back and reboot and kind of restart things over to keep it fresh. Mm-hmm. So I think if the MCU wants to have and enjoy the same kind of cinematic leverage that they've had over the past 15 years... they need to kind of start the process over again and rebuild what they created the first time.
All right. Mr. Hat.
So, if I was to give one last sort of throw out there, I would have to say... I was trying to find a way to see whether I could get Azrael the Bat in there for you, but I feel like that's just going too far.
Wow.
So what I would have to say is that I think in my little verse, there's a spot for the Charlie Cox Daredevil.
Daredevil.
You're
fired.
Yeah, I know.
It's because that'd be quite the twist.
It's because I was just reading the Born Again News. But I think that this brings in the same way that I wanted with the first big Avengers moment was to have the street levels from mm-hmm. Netflix come into the movie fold, even for a half a second with flipping Thanos. I think this is the tie-in there is Norman Osborn is a perfect sort of equal parts super, super mega villain and street level where you can have that. Who wouldn't want to see Kingpin and Norman Osborn sitting in Shield Tower looking across the city? That's my scene.
All right.
Picture with words.
Thank you. And Big Sexy, what you got for us?
Last scene, John Bernthal, Punisher.
All right.
He's on a pile of bodies. He's finished what he had to do. Three portals open up. Thomas Jane, Ray Stevenson hologram, and Dolph Lundgren walk out. They all just kind of eye each other, side eye, movie ends. Boom.
All right.
I like that a lot. Thomas Jane Punisher was highly underrated.
I loved it. It was goofy, but I loved it.
Had that sweet John Travolta appearance.
Which John Travolta appearance isn't sweet?
Exactly. All right. Well, this is great. Like you guys all made an effort. I really appreciate that.
Now, before you make your decision, we're going to give you a few minutes to ruminate, to consider.
All right.
But that leaves us with a question for you. How the hell have you been, brother?
I'm doing, I'm living. I changed careers like 2 years ago, and that's super weird. But it's been great. For those who don't follow the lore, I worked as a therapist for over a decade. I was running a group home for two group homes for trauma reactive adolescents. And then after COVID, I left and became a full-time writer. And now I work at my alma mater as a writer in the communications department. And I continue to, I'm a member of the Critics Choice Association as well. So I continue to write movie and television reviews, most often for The Spool, thespool.net. And it's been great. I may get back to therapy at some point. Well, I go to therapy personally. I may get back to being a therapist at some point. But for now, I'm pretty happy with the way life is. And it's nice to be able to come home in considerably better mental health than I used to.
Yeah, sure. So you're writing, obviously you're writing entertainment stuff for The Spool.
Right.
What is is it a professional writing that you're doing as well for...
Khan, I do a lot of feature work for the magazine. So I'll go and speak to alumni. Like I spoke to the creative director of Sesame Workshop, Jordan Geary. I did an interview with him. I interviewed author Sloan Crossley about her new book that came out a couple of months ago, Grief is for People. And then I'll do stuff about on campus things like our radio station just turned 50 and got selected for the New England Music Hall of Fame. So I did a cover story, or not a cover story, a feature story on them, specifically through the eyes of the new student manager who took over after COVID, because they didn't go dark, but they went all automated for 2 years during COVID.
Sure.
And then she came on and sort of revitalized it. She probably wouldn't agree with that. She improved it for students again, because students had been away for so long. So things like that. It's predominantly, obviously, con-based or con-related in some way, but it's given me an opportunity to interact with a lot of interesting people. David Gran, who wrote the book that Killers of the Flower Moon was based on, he's an alum. So when that was about to be released in theaters, I did a short story on that. The guy who graduated with me, Wally Lamb's son, Jared, is a principal down in Louisiana, and he went TikTok famous because he doesn't have an office. He just has a cart. And so he's on like the Today Show about it and that sort of thing. So I covered him. So it's a lot of also different kind of writing than I've been doing for years. So that's a nice change of pace.
Yeah, no, that's I met you when we started writing on Inside Pulse. So to know that like you have not only you're still doing the entertainment stuff.
Yep.
I'm sure you're still reading more comics and now you get to do the professional stuff with what's your favorite thing in the world, which is Connecticut. that's great. Especially that's a real great variety of like,
yeah, the work is subjects. You know, it's one of those things from the outside. You're like, well, what could you possibly do? But every year we graduate, you know, 300 more students, and every year they go out and do different and cool stuff. So,
out of all of this amazingly rewarding work that you've been doing over the past couple years, I guess my question to you is, which SomethingCast episode that you've been on has been the most fulfilling?
Oh, Jesus. that's a really good question.
Which one does most?
I mean, I love talking about Daredevil, obviously. So the couple episodes that we talked about the Daredevil TV series was great. The previous one, The Biggest Pops, was fun. Because it let me do my favorite things, which was talk about stuff I really like and give you guys shit. And so that's fun.
the other thing you really like.
Yeah. Because I think I definitely got to mention Lost in there. I mentioned that The Last Jedi is the best and only good Star Wars film. and I forget what else. But like I made sure to really hit the highlights.
Big notes.
If only you could write a magazine article every week about shitting on us, I think your life would be complete.
It's not shitting, it's kindly antagonism. You guys are so high in the food chain, you need to be reminded every once in a while. That's all.
Yeah, that's what it is. Right above the dollar menu, that's us.
I just recently saw it passed by on one of the social medias that you and I are buddies on, your review of The Boys, and I couldn't agree more how The Boys has settled into just like a perfect spot.
Yeah. Like, as you know, it said in the headline and the stuff I've said on social media, I was a little dubious about the first season because it had a lot of bright spots, but there were some overly sophomoric elements. But second, third, and the fourth in particular, it's really found its groove. And I loved Generation V, or Gen V rather. I thought that was incredible. So
I thought Gen V was probably the best that they had done.
Yes, and I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
With the passing of, I'm not going to remember his name offhand, but with his passing, I don't know what they're going to do to come back from that, because he was the heart of that show.
Yeah, that is, it's tough. And I mean, I know they're still planning to do a season two and they finally announced that, but at least we have season one, and season one was, I just, all hits in that one, no filler. Yep. So it's really great to have it coming back this week. And I definitely am, I've become a huge fan.
I mean, I trust Kripke. The guy just seems to.
Yeah, he really seems to get it, which is nice. Yeah.
So what is out of your entertainment journeys over the last year or so, what's been like the big surprise?
Oof. That's tough. I mean, there's been disappointments for sure. Although this isn't a big surprise, but Tires, that new show on Netflix, the sitcom, mm-hmm. that's pretty terrible. and that was too bad because it's Shane Gillis, the guy who like, got hired by SNL, got fired by SNL, then was a host this year for SNL. Mm. Sort of been making a comeback, and, you know, I'm all for redemption stories, and he's got charisma and things like that, but the series they built around him is just terrible, so that's too bad.
I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, well, that's okay. You're fine missing out on it. But, you know, The Boys coming back is great. I'm trying to think of what else. In the world of film... Film's been, unfortunately, a bit dodgy past several months. Furiosa was solid, but certainly not the film, the surprise that Fury Road was, in part because, you know, it's so connected to Fury Road. It's kind of hard to be surprising twice. I liked The Fall Guy a lot, but no one went and saw that.
Yeah, no.
No.
I saw the TV Glow. Is very interesting. I want to go back and see it again. I'm not sure I could give a sort of a fair reaction to it after only one viewing, but certainly worth watching. But there's a lot of stuff that's just either they're not releasing much or it's pretty disappointing, unfortunately. This looks to be kind of a fallow summer.
Yeah.
Which actually isn't surprising given the strikes and things like that. I just didn't anticipate how fallow it would be. So that's a bit of a bummer, but I mean, Deadpool's coming out in a couple weeks and I'm sure that's going to make money hand over fist. So.
Yes.
I have to, TV has had so many good things in the last two years that I'm not surprised that movies are sort of taking the, the quiet hit right now, because TV's like bounced back with all the stuff that was in the works. I just, Sweet Tooth just dropped, and that is like every night watching around here.
Yeah, because it dropped everything all at once. Yeah, I reviewed that as well. That's a series that, I don't know, it makes me feel a certain way, but it's definitely incredibly well made, and absolutely worth watching.
Matt, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, that's one I read the comic of, but I never actually watched the show.
It's an interesting adaptation. It changes things, but it ends up, in a very interesting way, sort of ending exactly where the comics ended. It's a really, a very different way of adapting than you see a lot of, but somehow ends up honoring the source material.
Because the source material was great, but it wasn't happy.
No,
right.
No.
It wasn't
that's very fair.
Uplifting read. I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah, no, that's very fair.
I was going to say, I don't know how they found that through line of like, this can also be sort of a warm, charming story about a little kid you grow to love.
Right.
But they really did. And it's based on the fact that everybody is acting their ass off in that show to just be lovable. Even the villain from season two was, I mean, he's so over the top. He's like Dr. Steel. He's just brilliant and steampunk and strange.
Yeah. Sugar on Apple TV Plus is like a modern noir. That's actually, it's excellent. And then there's a twist at the end that it doesn't need, but it doesn't ruin the show for me. And that's stars Colin Farrell. So that's sort of the world of TV right now.
No fans of Jeremy Clarkson's Farm, really? Clarkson's Farm, it's season three, just came out.
No? Not on my radar. I'm so sorry.
It's actually pretty brilliant.
All right.
Right now.
Has he mellowed at all, or is he still the same douche nozzle as he was on Top Gear?
He's mellowed quite a bit.
Okay.
But he still has a little bit of the douche in. I mean, that's his character, but it's pretty fun.
He probably has to mellow after all the lawsuits, you'd think.
Yeah. And firings and things like that, you know.
Yeah, that does
tend to bring it down. It's a pretty fun show, even though he might not be the best person in the world. I'm just, you know, worth watching.
All right. I'll check it out.
So,
that's fine. I could go on all day, but I feel like I've talked enough.
Well, I was going to ask, now that you've had some time to let our Avengers seep into your pores.
Okay.
You have
your choice.
That's new. You have three options before you. You have Punisher Kills the Marvel Universe, you have Avengers Dark, and you have the sort of reframe, reboot, relaunch of Rob. Mr. Stevens, please.
Okay.
Who gets the big check?
All right. So, James, I appreciate the clear amount of time and attention you put into your pitch.
That's enough.
The problem I'm seeing is that it doesn't do a lot to address the difficulties the MCU is facing right now in terms of from a PR standpoint.
Mm.
I would certainly be interested in what the story you're telling, but there's a steep hill right now where almost everything that gets released from the MCU is battling. And if we just offer the same, which in some ways yours is, I don't think it's enough to shake the tree, if that makes sense. So if you were to pitch it to me and say 3 years ago, I'm totally on board. But at this juncture, we just need a little more of a shakeup.
I hear you.
He's really good at this.
He is. Matt, unfortunately, the shakeup we need isn't the total destruction of the entire universe. I respect it. I like it a lot. I think Jon Bernthal is an incredible Punisher. And just in general, I think he's an incredibly cool actor. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that the dour tone we'd need, or even if we went with the sick humor route, either way, I'm not sure that brings in enough of an audience. And I'm not sure how you recover after you kill off everyone.
Multiverse.
So that brings me to you, Rob. I like it. I like it a lot. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think it allows you to scale back the MCU in a way, because one of the problems that everyone complains about is that everything's the end of the world with the smaller movies that are based on, you know, at least recognizable IP, but still new in that, you know, it's a different character or a different sort of situation they find themselves in, like Doctor Strange scaling back to just him, or Sam in the role of Captain America. It gives us a nice reboot point without just destroying previous continuity, but also makes it clear that this is a reboot point, because I think a lot of what they've said till now is like, oh, you don't need to watch the television shows, which I find to be true, but a lot of people just doubt on principle. If you have that, I have to watch it. So this way, it's a very clear, like, this is Sam's movie. Sam has these characters in it. There is no soft launch of so-and-so in this movie. So, I think that's where we go. We bring everything back down to scale, but we use the materials we already have, because I think there are strong bones there. And plus, we have multiple year contracts on these guys, and it would be a shame to waste all that money.
Mr. Stevens, you are wise beyond your years. You have made an excellent choice.
I mean, it's true. And also, thank you for mentioning how young I am. You know, it's amazing that I've done all this at 26 years old, but what are you going to do?
Hatton, I've lost count. How many is that I've won?
I actually don't know. All I know is that my streak is over, which is so sad.
So before we end this, I'm curious if you guys had any other like second choices of story.
Yeah, what was your developed but not finished pitches?
I mean, I stopped myself from writing an entire X-Men treatment because that was what I assumed everybody was expecting from me. So when I started out, I was like, wait, no.
And that's only a good knowing your audience too, because as you know, I am at best a medium X-Men fan.
And
at
I'm
best
super X-Men fan, and it just feels like, oh, Hatton's going to talk about Ocean's 11, Saw, and the X-Men. We got it. Rob, do you know what your second?
I didn't have a second.
Oh,
that's what I like. Just going for broke.
I worked until 4:30. I have my own private Discord channel that I can pop all my notes in and brainstorms in, and this was written at 4:18 today. Before I left work at 4:30, I was like, this is what we should do. Hatton, I do have to say, thank you for being so consistent in all of these elevator pitches. Because, you know, Matt comes in and he's like, all right, so this is where we are. This is where I think we should go. I come in and I'm like, this is the state of things. I think this is my idea. And Hatton goes, the scene opens in a bar in Tuscaloosa at 4 a.m. And it's just like, all of your pitches are the first 18 pages of your scripts.
It's because it's the same way I tell a story.
Oh, yeah, no, I know.
There's a contextual element that one needs.
I have to set the scene for you.
If I don't explain who Ares is, how are you going to know who Ares is? The Sentry? I thought I was going to win on Sentry and Sentry alone.
That was a good pull. Yeah. I mean, also, would you know, throwing in Cardiac would have helped.
Sure.
You know, finding a way to work Maggot into your pitch couldn't hurt you.
Well, he appears in like one frame of the X-Men cartoon, and I popped. It's Maggot!
Speaking of which, that's been a pleasant surprise.
X-Men 97.
Yeah.
Because
I had to, for the spool, one of the other writers, Justin, and I went back and we watched all the seasons and picked like top five or top 10 from every season and bottom five.
Okay.
And it turns out that original cartoon series isn't great. No. The theme slaps, you know, I'm your baby tonight. But the show itself is, well, I mean, it was great for when you were a kid, right?
Perfect.
So to have this one come back and like match tone, but be so much more complex and interesting was really impressive.
My favorite part of 97 has been that we live in a world where we can have like 120 frames per second cartoon, and they went out of their way to downgrade it just a hair.
Right.
So it feels like an old cartoon.
You just have that missing cell feeling to it. Yeah. And I also like, you know, because I'm that guy, Cyclops gets to pop, which is nice.
I've been, when talking with friends about it, I've been saying it's like, they read all of the X-Men comics and said, we don't need to be specific. We'll just take the best of, like, here's the best thing from the 70s. Here's the best thing from the 80s. Oh, I like Bastion. Let's put him in here. And you can tell for next season that they've selected their storylines already.
Yeah, I do find it hard to believe anyone likes Bastion. But beyond that, I tend to agree.
Fair enough.
And they used him well. You know, it is Bastion, but they used him well. And they had Executioner. That dude with that wild mask. They did that.
They're one Adam X away from a perfect score.
Oh, the thing with Adam X is blood. He can charge, I think, if I remember correctly.
He's got a skateboard. I don't know.
Mr. Stevens, for those out there who listen to us and read our social medias, where can they find you on social media? And I will ask, please include your art gallery Instagram too, because I follow that on Insta and that is some really awesome stuff that you
have. Oh, cool. Thank you. I really appreciate that. Yeah, that's sort of my like favorite side project right now. So the easiest thing to do is go to Linktree and do Ungaje, which is UNGAJJE. And that's got the Spool, my Rotten Critics page, or my Rotten Tomatoes page, my Blue Sky account, my Instagram's various. I even have Twitter on there, although I rarely post on there anymore. And at the bottom, you can even see my presentation on Moon Knight that I made at UNLV about how Moon Knight is, in fact, not a sufferer of multiple personality disorder, or shouldn't be, because he doesn't truly capture that. He has comic book mental health issues. He doesn't have true DID in any case. But what Rob is referring to is I have Ungaje's, which is UNGAJJE, Ungaje's art gallery on Twitter, or not Twitter, sorry, on Instagram. And multiple times a week, not every day, but 2 to 3 times a week, I post art that I own. So it's commissions, original comic pages, sometimes prints, although I've done a really bad job of capturing the prints because I have just a lot of prints. But it's all art that I've either commissioned or just personally own, and various artists and things like that. And it's just, I have all this art. I want to share it. You know, you can't come to my house. Well, you guys could, but most people aren't allowed to just show up at my house to see it. So it's a nice way to share it with everybody. And things like my buddy Chris Ouellette, who's done several commissions for me. He just had a Kickstarter finish for the second issue of this series he's doing called Satellite Girl. Satellite Girl's like this sidekick to sort of a cosmic Superman kind of character, but he's immortal. The Satellite Girls aren't. So every generation there's a new Satellite Girl. So he's cool. Working backwards from the present to the first Satellite Girl. So the first volume was 2000s and 90s, and this is 80s, 70s, 60s, 60s, and so on until he gets back to the 40s. And it was great to be able to post art from him and say, hey, if you like the art, check out his Kickstarter. I featured a print this week of Connor Hawk made by somebody who I only know through Blue Sky and Twitter, but she's looking for work right now. So I was able to say, you know, look at this cool print, and hey, she's hiring, she's looking to do covers or commissions. So it's fun to be able to promote artists and show off this work that I really love. But like I said, unless you get to show up in my house, you wouldn't necessarily get a chance to see.
To your point, I just loaded up. I didn't know you had this Instagram because I don't look at social media or anything really. Stare into the void. The first one I immediately eyes went to was the Chris Ouellette of Rogue. Such a great piece.
Yeah. The one where she's pulling off her glove?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love that one.
Brilliant. Well, is there anything else you'd like to say to the Something audience, seemingly for the last time?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's been a hell of a ride, you know. It's great to be part of it. Matt, it's great to meet you for the first time. Pleasure. I understand they didn't think that we could hang out because we'd be too powerful. You know, one big sexy to another. They were afraid of that power we bring.
Hey, you get me.
I'm glad to hear, glad to see that, like all of us, you know, smooth. Yeah, it's just going to be a shame. But I'm really excited that you guys get to, like I said, possibly do other things together.
Maybe.
You know, I'm glad I got to spread my truth. Oh, the other thing I forgot to mention is that Point Break, the original, is a really great film. for a multitude of reasons. Catherine Bigelow is an incredible director, and people who think otherwise are really bad at watching movies.
You can see this is why we had to save you towards the end of our run, Tim. Because having this much naked scalp all in one place.
It's just too much energy.
It was just going to make the universe implode. So we had to save it towards the end, well, just in case things got unstable.
You know what they say? The biggest cause of male baldness is testosterone, right? So, like, there's just so much testosterone in this elevator right now where we are at, I don't know, a 4212 of 230,
I guess.
This
elevator's going to go through the top floor.
That's right.
Just like a Wonka-vator, God damn it.
Just a bunch of guys who can't flex because we're just going to rip our shirts open. Just shredded, you know, like lettuce, like the Ninja Turtles.
Shredded like lettuce. Yeah,
exactly. I'm pretty sure I've stolen that from somebody, but, you know, you get
exactly
the idea.
Exactly like that. Because you can just look at the four of us and see the leafy greens.
Look, sun's out, guns out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, my friend, it has been a pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Rob,
always a pleasure.
Where can they tell us how horrible our MCU pitches are?
You can go to somethingcast.com, which is the repository of all things something. It has all of the buttons and widgets and doodads on which to find us on all of our various social media platforms, all of our backlog of episodes, which soon will be every episode will end up being a backlog of episodes.
Damn, still hurts.
Wow.
All of our previous blog posts, all of our previous episodes with Tim Stevens over at somethingcast.com. And Tim, I know you kind of came into this in the beginning coming on our show because you have been friends with Hatton for a very long time. Mm-hmm. I just want to say it has been an absolute honor and pleasure getting to know you and meeting you and kind of seeing all the things that you get involved in from having been part of our show. And as James has said, I believe you are the one guest who's been on our show the most times. So, thank you for coming on and constantly wanting to come back after the first time. So
That's a real honor. I really appreciate it. And it's been great to get to know you too. And I mean, that's the one thing consistently having known, God, how long have we known each other now, James?
It's like 15.
More than that. Cause we went to, what was it? 2005. We went to Comic-Con together in San Diego. Right. So more than 19 years.
Been 84 years.
Yeah. You know, the one thing besides just knowing James, which is like a 7 out of 10. But knowing James, I've met so many awesome and incredible people. And certainly you're included in that. And it's been tremendous to get to interact with you through this and follow you guys online and the whole nine. So
well, I appreciate that
I could be part of that.
No, absolutely. We welcome you aboard.
And I'd like to take this moment to announce that I'm taking Something Cast over. We'll be running every other day. And it's been fun. It'll just be me, though, talking about mostly how great I am. So tune in for that.
Listen, Manhattan made a joke post on Facebook about that he was looking to, you know, start another podcast. And within hours, he had like 17 offers. So yeah. No doubt, the minute this episode airs, people are going to hear this. They're going to be like, what was that? Linktree / Ungaje? How did he spell that again?
I didn't make an offer because I don't do auditions. No. I just get the job or I don't. That's the way it goes.
I will leave you with this. I just did the count. This is your 10th episode with us. So it's
Damn.
A round number.
Wow. Nice that we ended on double digits, yeah.
Let's raise that.
And I can very much see that about you, Tim, that you don't audition. You just kind of walk into the place, kind of give that pause and go, yeah. Is it me? No? All right, I'm
out. Gotta go.
And then he just walks out and snaps.
Yeah. Exactly. Is it me? Yes? Cool, here's my bank account information.
Routing
see you on Tuesday.
I like his business card is just his phone number and his routing number.
Exactly. That's it.
Why bother with anything else? Well, I guess it's time to raise my jersey to the rafters and get out of here.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you all for joining us on another episode of Elevator Pitch. I'm Jason.
I'm Podcast Rob.
And I'm Big Matt.
And I remain Timothy G. Stevens.
I'll see you guys next week.
Bye. The G stands for good golly. We can
hijack your brain. Something, 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 something.
Okay, here we go. And in 3, 2, 1, beep. Beep. It's the wrong intro again.
Wait, no, it's not. What? But
it's the wrong intro again. I'm going to count that down one more time.
How's that the wrong intro?
That's the mid. That's not the, oh, music. It's the music mid. Intro. Right, I have them labeled the same. Figured I would know which one is which. In 3, 2, 1. Beep. Beep.